Arvo's and Double J with Tim Shiel.
Does this album feel a bit more personal to you? Because it seems like you're getting, even though the songs themselves can kind of just hit you in this very immediate way, there's some deeper stuff going on in the song. So how does it feel to have this out and people processing it in their lives?
Well, I'm so proud of the record. I think it's the best, at least the best songwriting that I've ever done. No, it's the best thing we've ever made.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Just own it. Go for it.
Listen, it's really good.
No. It's the best album ever made. Let's go with that.
No!
It's cool. I think we had been... Well, I'm thrilled that it's out just because we worked harder on it than we've ever worked on anything. And it feels like we really kind of got to a place we'd always been trying to get to.
Yeah.
And that's like a really satisfying feeling. On the flip side, it's weird because I feel like we just put out my favorite record we've ever made, and we don't get to have like all of the normal things of like going and playing shows and talking to people who listen to it and that kind of thing in person.
It's like I thought the pandemic was going to be over after we released our record.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why. So it's so great that people are getting to hear it. And also, like, the part that the reason why I like doing this is tour and performing. So it's hard.
Yeah. And also, like, for a lot of musicians, playing music is not just, you know, their favorite thing about being a musician. It is actually a huge part of their identity, you know, like that being on, not even being on stage, but just being in a room even with other people and playing music back and forth with them is this lifeblood thing that keeps them going. So I think, you know, I've got a lot of sympathy for musicians and artists this year who just don't have access to that thing because they can't be around other people, you know. You've got each other, right?
We do.
We do.
But it's a tough one. But that's balanced out, I think, from being able to finally share with people my favorite thing we've ever made. Concrete, shutting everywhere. Moonlight's bright in the Keystone Cave. Meet me at the streetlight, gonna take you there. Take you rooftop dancing.
The album is very short. It is 29 minutes long. Were you guys in a hurry? Did you have somewhere to be? Was 30 minutes, you were like, when we get close to 30, let's just stop. That's enough.
I like 10 song records.
Yeah.
Honestly, I like a half hour long record.
Less
we
is more.
Set out to do this.
And when someone has like 14 tracks on a record, I'm like, probably could have done some editing.
I think our songwriting just got really concise. Mm. We were much more prone on this record to the minute a song felt like it could be done, it probably was done. And we didn't add a lot of jams or outros or anything like that. It felt like a very minimal process. And I was honestly kind of shocked when we lined it all up and saw that it was like 29.
I know. We didn't really know that it was 29 minutes, I think, until we were mastering it. And then we were like,
yeah, whoa.
Well, that's the thing. It doesn't matter what number of minutes an album is. It just matters what it feels like and whether it serves the purpose, you know, of what it's trying to do.
It feels like a complete thought. Like, get there, get in, get out.
Do you have like favorite short albums? Like, are there albums that you guys admire for their ability to just kind of say what they need to say and get out?
I don't know about short albums necessarily, but concise songwriting in that way, I think They Might Be Giants have always been like a real inspiration on that front. I feel like they are able to make so much happen in like 2 minutes of a song that you don't even notice that it was just 2 minutes.
Yeah.
That's always been really impressive to me.
Now, I think as a songwriter, I too have just gotten so much more into like an economy of words, like just not taking too long to explain things. Because if you can say it in a sentence and like be as specific as possible, that's the dream.
Yeah, and like the David Byrne thing of like, say something once, why say it again? I think we've really gotten into
why
that
say it again.
Zone.
And wearing a big jacket. You know, it's all part of the thing with David Byrne.
Yes, exactly. Of course.
The big jacket, yeah. For anyone who's not watching our video chat right now, Amelia and Nick are both in quite large, oversized jackets. It just comes with the territory. It's a ring, I'm running around it, babe. It's a ring, it's safety and dangerous. It's a frequency. That is a song called Ring. And I wanted to play that song Ring, not just because it's great, but because it might be the best song about tinnitus ever written. Or do you guys say tinnitus or tinnitus?
I say tinnitus.
Tinnitus, yeah, yeah. So the song is called Ring, and you talk about the ringing in the ears, which so many musicians and just non-musicians live with day to day. Did you deeply research tinnitus-themed songs?
No, I didn't. I didn't even know. Are there some?
There are. I looked it up. I mean, I Googled it, and I found a bunch of songs. The one that I found, which I hadn't thought about, was Show Me the Way by Peter Frampton. I wonder how you're feeling. There's ringing in my ears and no one to relate to except the sea.
Totally.
See, you
I didn't even realize this is a whole subgenre of
it is.
Songwriting.
And What's Ring, that? I think, has come to the fore of it.
Thank you.
Well, thank you.
How do you guys have ringing in the ears? Do you have tinnitus of any kind of serious level? Because it's sort of the thing that musicians tend to talk about off air or amongst themselves. It's very, very common.
I have one that appears where all of my hearing drops out of one ear, like Whoa. Once every month, Whoa. Which is scary. But it like feels like an inner ear equilibrium thing.
Oh, people always ask me what it's like to love everybody. What it's like to love everybody, they ask me. I tell them don't be crazy, there's too many people around me. If I love them all, they break me, you see.
You wrote a lot of these songs last year, a year where already you could feel a lot of anxiety in the world just generally. This year that's gone to this whole other level, and so people will be turning to these albums for comfort. And you've talked about wanting to kind of look inward to remember the times when loving each other seemed really easy. So I'm really curious about that idea of looking inward, and what did you find? Like what were the times and the places you were thinking about when you were trying to go to that place for this album?
You know, because of the nature of Nick and I's collaboration, he's able to see the songs that I'm writing in like a different way. So that's a quote that he said.
Yeah.
Which I don't, or like the idea of being able to like look at all of the different loves that I've had, which for me sometimes feels true. Honestly, I was just giving myself the permission to write real love songs. So with this one, I think that might be the personal nature that you're responding to, where all of a sudden for this one, I was like, F it, I'll do it.
Writing songs about love from new angles in 2020 is a pretty impressive thing given the, you know, amount of the music history that is devoted entirely to unpacking love from every single angle, you know?
There are so many versions of it that nobody, maybe too complicated to talk about or too specific and too personal.
August in the heat, sweaty in the street, tilt-toe whirling, whirling, whirling. I can feel your eyes, find me in the crowd, think you like me now.
Amelia and Nick, it's so good to chat to you. You've been to Australia before, playing Laneway and played sold-out shows around the country. You know, we'd love to get you back here at some point, and I'm sure it will happen. When you get to Australia, you know, what's the first thing you're going to be looking for? Is there a food or a person or something about Australia that you like, when we get back, we have to do this?
I mean, there are so many things about Australia.
There's so many things. I'm going to get a salad with
halloumi
on it.
Yes, halloumi. The food, especially in Melbourne.
Yeah.
The food in Melbourne is like...
There's a juice bar in Melbourne that I love.
It really is.
All right. So halloumi salad and a beach trip. We will make this happen. When at some point we will get you back here.
Yes, please.
I heard a song come on, the jukebox.
Music makes you.
And I said, who is this? And I was hooked.
There's the lasers, the dry ice, Townsend's doing the windmill. I'm 15 feet from like Keith Moon. And it was absolutely mind-blowing. I mean, it just opened this whole world that I'd never had any notion of before.
Double J.